pastors would do well to create a go-to team for specialized sermon help. That's our key sentence for the SermonCoach.com podcast. Welcome. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Mames, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, on our SermonCoach.com podcast, we've often talked about early on in the sermon preparation process, getting input from members of the congregation. Can we review that a bit?
I guess we have talked about it a lot. Maybe somebody's hearing us for the first time, so I'll do a quick review. We say that very early on in the sermon process, in fact, probably before you begin looking for illustrations or go to your commentaries or all the rest, you decide what is the subject of this sermon. Usually that's going to come out of a text. Sometimes you'll have a subject that comes to you and then you find a text where you can support what you're thinking about from God's Word, but usually it'll come from a text. Then what is the response that text is calling for? Maybe I should give an illustration that might help. I was thinking of probably the sermon that's thought of most often from Jesus' ministry is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus summarizes at the end of the time with this illustration of the wise man who builds his house on the rock. And that's like the person who hears what he says and obeys what he says. So if you put it into a sentence with a subject and a response, if I can just pull back a sermon I did on that not that long ago, building on the foundation of obedience to Christ's teachings results in stability during life storms. So what is the subject? It's when these storms of life come, and everybody's going to face that. Do you want to have the rock-type experience or the sand-type experience where everything gets blown apart? Well, the rock experience will be that you build on the foundation of obedience to Christ's teaching. That's what Jesus says. Not just hearing, you hear, but you also obey. So building on the foundation of obedience to Christ's teaching results in stability during life storms. That's kind of summarizing everything in a sentence. It has a subject and response. Now, how do you do that? Well, we say you come up with the how-to by saying, if you don't know how to do that, let me tell you how. So what you do, you'd go through the Sermon on the Mount and you say, let's pick out one of those things that I don't obey. And then I'm going to begin to say, okay, Jesus, to the best of my ability, I'm going to begin to bring my life into line. I don't know, because I just off the top of my head, Jesus says even to look at a woman lustfully is to commit adultery with her. So if you're a man who has trouble with lust, then you're going to say, I got to somehow change that. I have to figure out what I'm doing wrong so that I can't even in my thought life have wrong thoughts about women. Now, the question is, do I want to have stability in my house when the storms come? And if that's the case, then I need to build my life on the foundation of obedience to Christ's teaching. It could be about worry. I mean, you go through the Sermon on the Mount, you can just about pick anyone you want, and you have trouble with it. So then Jesus is saying, be like I am, and here's specific illustrations. Okay. Having gotten that, then you say, I know exactly where I'm going in this sermon. Now, what we like to do as just what we say over and over to people is get in touch with other people and say, how do you relate to this in your life? How would you suggest before I preach the sermon so I don't have to preach it cold for the first time in front of the congregation? What kind of input would you give to me? And I find in my ministry that there are some people I can work with and it really goes well. And there are other people who they just don't fit into those brainstorming sessions because they always want to choose something else as the subject. And sometimes I will listen to them. But I have certain people who just can't pull their mind into some kind of a pattern that works with me. And as a result, I'm better off to say, I really appreciated your help. And then mentally, I'm saying to myself, don't ask that person to do it again. Those people are rare. I find that I can work with almost any people. But there are some people who, even though I can work with a lot of people, some people I can't, that's just life, there are some people who are really good at this. And so when I have maybe four or five people that I'm talking with in a group preparing a given sermon, and say, Daniel over there, he really is good at this. So I make a mental note of that. I say, I'd like to invite Daniel back again sometime because there's a chemistry there that is very helpful. And he's in a world that's totally different from mine, and he knows how to relate what I'm talking about to his world. That's helpful to me. Well, over a period of time, you begin to know who some of those people are. Now, I don't have an official team that I say every time I do a sermon, I invite the good guys. I continue to invite all kinds of people to help me in my sermon preparation. If I can't get them together, can I put a sermon together on my own? Sure, I can. But I like having that input before I actually have to face the people on a Sunday morning or whatever the day of the week is. But I do have in my head a team of people who are good at this. Do they know they're on my team? No, they haven't the faintest idea that they are. But it means that these are people who, if I'm in the middle of studying for something and I come across a problem, how am I going to express this? I will call that person on the phone. I don't have to have a formal meeting with him or her. And I just find that these are people who are very good at working with me. Now, some people may be very good at working with another David preacher, because his personality is different. But I'm putting together this group of people who are my go-to people. And I really appreciate them because they don't try to control me. They basically know that I'm going to pay attention to what they say. We work together well. We have certain common interests. They are not divergent thinkers who are always going in a different direction or always figuring out. I have one person especially I would never invite because he always tries to close every loophole and figure out every possible diversion thought that could somebody think about. And, you know, I'm talking about a broad swath here that I'm working with. So some people I don't work with well. And it doesn't mean I don't like them. I like them. It's just that we don't work together well in terms of sermonizing things. But I have this group of people, and they're very good. I can think of the real good ones, and I can think of the ones I would never invite again. Come hell or high water, I'm not going to invite them again because they dominate a group, you know, and all the rest. So you just learn over a period of time. It's just like somebody says, I remember somebody said to me once, this is the best set of commentaries I ever got, and they're wonderful. And I got them, and he was right. It wasn't the best I ever got, but it was a good set of commentaries. It was J. Sidlow Baxter. And I thought, I really like that guy. And I have had other people have said to me, it's the best commentaries you could ever get. If you don't have any other commentaries, you got these, and I read it, and it's absolutely nothing but it's like sawdust to me, you know. So we're all different. But I do think it's a good idea for a pastor to have a go-to team, and they say, these are the ones who are really helpful to me. Anyway, I've talked a long time. Dean, you're usually not that quiet, but I haven't given you a chance to jump in, huh? Go ahead. What are you thinking?
I was reflecting on the idea that what you're expressing is that the pastor has to have a good sense of who he or she is as a person. Once you develop a good sense of self and are self-aware, you're going to be able to make those selections. If I were to say, what are the qualities that a pastor should look for, you could give me a list, and you have sort of in what you just said, but that applies to David Maines.
That's correct.
Isn't the list of qualities that another pastor might need, because that pastor would be a different self than you are.
Mm-hmm.
So the pastor may need to do some experimentation with this process. And if you hit a roadblock, instead of abandoning the idea, which is our tendency when we hit roadblocks, mm-hmm. is to just give up, try it again and again and again until you pick the right combination of people and find the kind of person that you need to rely on to give you this kind of feedback that helps you shape your message and be effective for those people that are in your congregation.
Yeah, very well said. I like that.
I would imagine there's a degree of diversity that you would like to have in terms of the kinds of jobs that people work at, or the kind of background, life experience, and all of the kinds of issues that may affect the way they hear what you're saying.
It could be racial differences as well.
It could be, yes, any of the differences that make us different people. But at the same time, they do really need to mesh with who you are as a pastor.
Yes, exactly.
Well, we've reviewed once again this very important concept, and that is that in the development of sermons, you need to understand what the people think and how they react to what you're going to say, because after all, you want to answer the questions that your people have. That's why they're coming to church. Whether you realize it or not, they want answers. Pastors would do well to create a go-to team for specialized sermon help. Thank you for joining us for our SermonCoach.com podcast today. You found our podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We've put together a whole series of resources on our website to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, and we invite you to browse through those resources. We also invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.